Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, no votes in the House until September 14th. Mitch McConnell today says no votes until September 8th. But McConnell did throw in the, hey, within 24 hours, if they do get something, we'll come back. Knowing that, trust me, they're not going to come up with anything. Because as Mnuchin said to Pelosi today, they're dug in. Because, you know, like we've been saying, they believe they've got the upper hand here. They believe with these executive orders, it looks like they're accomplishing something. Pure politics at its absolute worst. And here to share some thoughts on the reality of this situation and where we are, I've asked Sarah Nelson to come talk with us. Sarah is the president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. First and foremost, I just want to make sure that listeners know that this is not over. And one of the biggest problems in Washington is that the default is do nothing. So if you allow that kind of commentary to go on, then it just lets them off the hook.
Yep.
The fact of the matter is that those executive orders are completely vapid. They're nothing. It was on purpose to disrupt the negotiations. And the truth is that Congress can get this deal done. And I just want to take us back to January of 2019, when we thought that this was Trump's shutdown, the federal government shutdown, right? And the truth was that Congress could fix the issue. And Congress ultimately did fix the issue with a veto-proof vote. So let's not let these Republican senators, especially the 23 who are up for election right now and are in fear of their jobs, off the hook so easily. They do need to come back in 24 hours. McConnell hinted at that because he knows he may have to pull the trigger on that if things get rough at home.
No, absolutely.
So,
but
I don't
want
anybody to let him off the hook.
Let none of them off the hooks. Democrat, Republican, Independent. If it were me, nobody's going home. Nobody leaves. Nobody gets out of their office until something gets done. Because the sad reality is, and I'm hearing from people all the time, we're saying, look, I can't pay my rent. Look, my insurance just expired. Look, I'm worried about how I'm going to, you know, put food on the table. I'm worried about school clothes for the kids. I'm worried about any number of things. Because guess what? They're losing their jobs. Their income is going down. And thanks to Trump, McConnell, the whole cabal, they've now gone off the unemployment cliff. And that $600 that was the lifeline that saved our economy from collapse is now gone, and we're heading into what could be the next collapse.
Yeah. So Rick, the emperor has no clothes, and that is exactly what was going on with those executive orders. That is exactly what has been going on with this administration from the beginning. And it's been about, look at the emperor's beautiful clothes. The emperor has no clothes. Meanwhile, we're talking about the clothes until we're realizing the emperor has no clothes. And by the time that all happens, the people have gone out of town making, their big bucks without handing over any clothes.
Right.
So what we have to recognize is that we actually have the power here to change this situation. So I just want to make sure that we understand.
I've been saying all along, you vote the bums out. Come November, we throw them all out. But ultimately, right now, you should be hammering their office with phone calls and letters and every point of contact possible, even if you haven't lost your job yet. Because by pulling this kind of money out of the economy, this kind of demand out, more people are going to lose their jobs. And,
that's right.
Down the road, we know that's going to happen.
I do want to talk about solutions, though, because I think, people have to know that this isn't just, we're not just complaining here, and we're not just saying, they're a do-nothing crowd. When you say they're a do-nothing crowd, you're giving them permission to do nothing.
Right.
And so I'm not willing to do that. No, you're an elected member of Congress. You're elected to serve us. You do your job. And so here's what we need you to do. And I will tell you, because we have been working specifically our payroll support program extension, I do want to talk about that in a moment, but we have been working this, and there is broad-based bipartisan support for a spending bill that will actually take care of the American people. And the Trump administration has simply gotten in the way of that because, guess what? When people don't have their jobs, they also don't have their union card. Now, your union's always going to stick with you, but the Trump administration knows that one of the fastest ways to get rid of unions is to put everybody on the unemployment line. one of the fastest ways to make people desperate and be willing to take anything that people are giving is to put them out of their jobs and not have them be able to take care of themselves. This can be exacerbated in a pandemic. So everything that you would think that should be happening right now, turn it on its head with someone who wants to become a dictator. That's what's going on here. So we gotta understand that if you play in that world, you're not going to be able to have the normal pressures. But we have the pressure of the election. Yes, it's coming up in November, but you can pressure that right now to get results. So I'm going to tell you, I think we should just break this down a little bit. First and foremost, we're in this in the aviation industry because we got out and demanded in March that we actually build a package that's workers first. We put all of our experience from 9/11 into that. And so it says that the corporations can only use the money for pay and benefits. It says they cannot involuntarily furlough anyone. It says that they have to maintain service to all of the communities so that we're continuing to do what our infrastructure of aviation is supposed to do for this country, especially in the middle of a pandemic. And, oh, we cut the worst practices, too, the things everybody hates. No stock buybacks, no dividends, and caps on executive compensation. And so it has been the most successful jobs program of coronavirus relief. It enjoys tremendous support, and that's about jobs. But it's also about continuing the services. No, the rest of the bill that we're talking about here, the money for state and locals, yeah, that's for services that we count on, but it's for jobs. So EPI says without that money for state and local, we're going to lose 5.3 million jobs. That means those people now are not spending in their community. It also means that we're laying off people like in public transportation, so that as people are getting less and less paychecks and trying to get to work, maybe selling their cars, they don't have the service to get on the bus or on the train to get to work. It means that you don't have sanitation workers, so that in the middle of a pandemic, we're not cleaning up our cities. It means all of those things. If we don't fund the post office, that's 600,000 jobs. Yes, it's the last mile of our delivery infrastructure in this country. It is 100,000 veterans who have that job. It is the way that 4 million people a day get their prescription drugs. It is connected to our success in the airline industry because we carry the vast majority of the mail in our planes, which is also revenue for our airlines as well. We're all connected. But it is about 600,000 jobs, not just jobs, good union jobs with pay, health care, pensions, and a career path. And so that's what this whole bill is about. And we have to understand that we've got to demand that Congress do their job, because otherwise they're going to be out of a job just like us. But in the meantime, the entire economy is going to go in the toilet, and we are not going to be able to recover.
Yeah, and that, you know, you've just laid out my entire argument for the last 2 weeks. And I actually don't know where to go outside of that because it was so perfect. You know, the reality is, you know, your PSP program has worked. Not one of your members, not one of the people have been laid off. That should have been something, the model that we were moving forward for everybody. You know, yeah. Other countries have figured this out. I'm still, you know, just mind boggled that we haven't demanded this. I know a lot of people are pushing for it, but as a society as a whole, we're not. And what we heard was in the messaging that's come out is, well, those people who are unemployed are just lazy. They don't want to go out and get extra jobs because they're getting the extra money in the unemployment.
Well, let's talk about this. So, first of all, we all know that that's ridiculous. The vast majority of people who are out of work don't have a job to go to. But also, in this environment, for every one job that's available, five people are competing for it. So this is not just about telling people, go back to work, you lazy bones. There are no jobs to be had. The jobs are not there. And what we have to do is focus on attacking the virus. What's absurd is that it took our pressure on our airlines to put in place a safety provision like requiring masks for everyone in the airports and on the airplanes. That was not government-directed. That was because our airlines responded to our request for that and recognizing that public health was necessary to have people feel confidence in being able to travel. So that's important. But, you know, the rest of the world, you talked about these other countries and what they're doing and what they're doing to contain coronavirus. They are looking at the United States and they're saying, we can't trust the United States. My passport, my U.S. passport, your U.S. passport, it is no good today. We cannot, Americans, cannot travel around this world because we have not taken the responsible steps that we would normally take. Think about how far we have come for the rest of the world to say we can't trust America. And so our freedom has already been clipped. Our wings have already been clipped here. And if we don't take care of this, we are going to lose a lot more freedoms than all of the access that Americans enjoy. You know, can you imagine growing up here and thinking, I'm stuck? I don't even have the chance to try to work to buy that once-in-a-lifetime round-the-world ticket to go see everywhere. I don't even have that chance.
Yeah.
My kids don't have that chance. We can't connect with the rest of the world. Oh, all of a sudden, we become the pariah in trade negotiations, too, and we have no power there either. Just when we are starting to try to build up a requirement for our trade negotiations to actually work for workers, to actually work for the environment, we're going to lose all of that. We're going to lose every opportunity going forward if we don't demand right now. We can start practicing right now because the election really matters, Rick. But what also really matters is that we understand that it matters every single day what we do up to election day, and it matters every single day what we do after that. Because even if we elect the best case scenario, we got to stay on it to make sure that our representatives are actually reflecting the needs and wants of working people.
No, you're spot on. You know, as I said, you know, learn the lesson of 2009, where, you know, we elected a black president, and everyone broke their arms, patting themselves on the back, and everybody went home. And, you know, people are complaining they didn't get the things that they had, the hope and change that they wanted. I'm hoping this time we learn that lesson and push forward. I did want to get your thoughts on Joe Biden's choice as a running mate. Where are we on Kamala Harris?
I guess what I would say is it doesn't matter what I have to say. It matters what my mother, who is a 76-year-old choir director still at the church, formerly registered Republican, who wrote to me and said, "Oh my God, I can't believe it!" with all these exclamation marks. I'm so excited. And she's typically very pessimistic about politics. So you know what? I think that's great. I think if this is exciting people around the country and they're going to get out to the polls, that is great. And ultimately, again, I just don't think it matters who we elect on the Democratic ticket, as long as working people are getting together, building our power, organizing like never before, and actually holding our representatives accountable. So that's what I'd have to say about that.
No, that's an excellent answer. A very good political sidestep. I give you credit for that. But, you know, ultimately, you're right. Whoever wins, and I'm hoping it's Joe Biden, we push him to do the things that we need to get done. And part of it is ensuring that in the middle of a global pandemic, we're not forcing people back into dangerous, unsafe workplaces. And we give workers the voice to if they still have jobs, to be able to protect themselves in those jobs.
You know, yes, that's exactly right, Rick. And the one thing that I would say is, you know, I got to serve on the Biden-Sanders Unity Task Force. I know the policies really well. The policies for labor are the most progressive policies that we've seen in 100 years for labor. And if those are enacted, we're in good shape. But set that aside for a minute. This is not a question of do we elect Barack Obama or do we elect John McCain? Do we elect Barack Obama or do we elect Mitch or Romney? I mean, this choice is choosing our field of battle. And it is a field of battle that is burning up around us if we don't choose Joe Biden. There is just no choice. We got to get out there and work like crazy to make sure that Joe Biden is elected, because the alternative is really giving up everything that is the foundation of freedom and the ability to form our unions and everything that we continue to press on within our Constitution to make this the more perfect union that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So we don't even have that chance if we don't elect Joe Biden.
Yeah, in the simplistic form, I remember, you know, back before the pandemic and back before all of this, you know, this crisis hit, someone, when Joe Biden was obviously going to be the nominee, someone asked me, what's the bumper sticker? And I said, life or death, you know, Joe Biden,
yeah.
2020, it's life or death. And it's even more magnified now. Literally, it's either life or death.
You got it.
It seems that simple. But, Sarah, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the work that you guys do. Keep it up. I hope folks will check out your most recent article over at Fortune. Another huge unemployment wave is coming, and there's an obvious way to stop it, written by Sarah Nelson. I will make sure we get that out on social media. Sarah, always great to talk with you. Come back again real soon.
Rick, do two things for me. One, tell my Sarah sisters hello. And two, I want everybody to know you got to stay with it. You got to demand of these people to get the job done. We are not going to allow them to go one more day without getting this relief package done. Don't even say it. We got to demand it.
There you go. Good stuff, Sarah. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Make sure you check out Sarah's article. Right back after this. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.